All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, hopefully you won some money on UFC 261 this past weekend. Hey, maybe even some Flames players help you win some money. It's rare, but it happens. If not, basketball season is still going on, and you can still get on the action at DraftKings. Playing daily fantasy basketball is really easy. You just pick your lineup, you stay under the cap, and you see how your team stacks up against the competition. If baseball is more your thing, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, but there's still time to get in on all the daily fantasy action, where DraftKings has even more ways to win. Download the DraftKings app and use the code THPN during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That code is THPN, where you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the We Still Suck podcast. Okay, well, we were scheduled to record this earlier, but seeing as you win two games and everything's now riding on this third game against Montreal, we figured, well, we better wait, because we don't want to come in on too much of a high and before the boys probably shit the bed. And shit the bed they did.
Wow, it's very unlike the Calgary Flames to, you know, not win in an elimination type game, you know?
The thing is like, I was just saying, have we even seen the Cocktees yet? Because I don't think we have. So I kind of have a feeling that they'll probably go on a bit of a run now that they're 6 points back.
Well, yeah, you just got to take it one game at a time, and you move on to the next one, and you try to get 2 points.
I mean, you never like to lose.
Like you said, winning, losing is never fun. That's Sean Monahan after the game, pretty much verbatim, just for those of you who are wondering.
Yeah, couldn't tell.
We've got a couple games. What
did Gio have to say for himself?
We got a couple practice days here, and we get back on the right track. And be ready for Edmonton on Friday.
Gotta learn from this real quick.
Gotta learn from that one real quick. Gotta pick up some tips. I guess it's Thursday, but oh my God.
All right, we're gonna break down the first two games real quick. I mean, like you said, classic Calgary Flames, just being like, okay, they're out of it, it's done. Then they win two games and then build a little bit of curiosity. We were just talking about this. Sutter's been hammering on this. These are two evenly pretty matched teams. So you win the first game 4-2. I mean, did we dominate them? I mean, you think you all played them, or was it the second game? I think it was the first game.
You absolutely dominated them. You dominated them in terms of possession. You dominated them in terms of quality shot share. A great game from the Flames. Four to 5 days ago now, the 4-2 win. That was pure and utter domination that game.
Yeah. Dubé, Mangiapane, and then Monahan with the game winner from Johnny. I kind of wish that didn't happen now, because all of a sudden now you have to reunite the two guys.
Yeah, that was a big mistake tonight, reuniting those guys.
Yeah, 13 and 23. Keep them separate, please. As soon as you saw it in the first two shifts, as soon as Monahan gets Gaudreau back on his wing, starts coasting again. Yeah. Like, at least it looked like he was trying to drive play, even though he wasn't.
Well, and it limits what Gaudreau can do too, right?
Yeah.
Like, because he's got to do everything. I did like Gaudreau and Mangiapane playing together tonight, though, but it wasn't enough.
No, it's not going
to
be enough.
So the Flames have 15 high danger chances to the Habs 5 at 5-on-5 in the 4-2 victory. A really strong game from the Flames that game.
Yeah, out of the three, that's the one they pretty much dominate. Lindholm gets the empty netter for insurance. And then people are like, okay, well, we got the one. Let's see what happens. And the next one, I don't know. It didn't look good early, did it? Because Montreal comes out to a 1-0 lead. It's late in the first period. You think, oh, they're going to go into the second period with the lead.
Yeah.
Right before Tkachuk does something for once. Backhand pass to Johnny. Dude, how big of a snipe? That's the best goal I've seen in weeks.
That's the best goal I've seen in like years. Well, I guess the Gaudreau in overtime against the Riddick.
That's the best goal since then.
Six snipe. And that was it. That's what I'm saying about Johnny, is like, he's a deceptive shooter because he can pick corners so well. That's why I think, like, God, he just works so much better on a line with a guy who's not like Monahan. Where if, like, you know, you have some dual threats with Gaudreau, guys who can get him the puck instead of just floating, he's a good shooter. If you have guys on his line who aren't, if the playbook is get Gaudreau the puck, he makes the play for the shooter, that's pretty easy to defend. And we've seen the league adjust to defend that. But when you play Gaudreau with guys who are equally as talented at playmaking and can score, so you have like a double dual threat, you see stuff like that.
And then we saw the opposite tonight again. So you go back to what wasn't working.
I really don't understand the rationale behind putting Gaudreau and Monahan back together. And I mean, even more so to the point, I don't understand the rationale of putting Dubé back with Tkachuk and Lindholm.
Yeah. I mean, we made a big stink about this on the last podcast of putting Richie back in the top six. Turns out he didn't really roll with that, right? They rolled 11 forwards those first two games that they won. Went back to 12 this last game. I guess they had Buddy Robinson in the second game, but for a lot of that game, he still rolled with 11 forwards. And then back to normal. Back to what wasn't working before, reuniting 13 and 23. And I mean, those first two games, especially the first game against the Habs, they were playing with pace. They come out and they play with pace. When they play with pace, they drive play, they dictate a lot of the game. And no wonder we actually generate more chances, because that's what's going to happen. Well, tonight, I mean, in the first period, like, wow, these guys are flat. Not a good recipe. We know what happens to this team when they play a flat game, they lose.
Well, flat, no shit. And one high danger chance in the first. I get like they only allowed one too, but like.
Well, the shots were what, 3-4 with like 3 minutes left in the period?
It was brutal in that first period. That was gross. And I mean, you know what? Like Glenn Gullitzen was right. He said to these guys, you win one fucking game and you're king shit. You're top of the league. That's what these guys have always been like. I knew today was going to be a tough game because I've watched this team for long enough. Like even before the game, you could hear the guys being interviewed and I was like, oh, fuck. I just knew they were going to, they felt they had it done. You know what I mean? It was like, we won two. It'll be easy to get the third one. And the thing that's so frustrating is Montreal was not very good tonight.
No.
Tonight was a winnable. That's what's infuriating. It was a winnable game.
Yep.
You could have won that game.
Jake Allen looked shaky. He looked tired. He was very beatable tonight. If only he could generate more than one high danger scoring chance in the first period. How many did they have in the third? You're down two. By one.
They had two.
Season's on the line. And I don't care how good they are defensively. Like, you have top-end talent up front. At least you used to. Same guys. Season's on the line. Can you fucking generate something?
Well, listen, Matthew Tkachuk has 6 points.
Where the hell is this guy?
In his last 16 games, he has 6 points. I haven't pulled this up, but I'm curious to see on 30 other teams in the league, if the highest paid player on their team has 6 points over the last 16 games. Because I have a hard time believing that's true across the league. That's unbelievable. All right,
let's get into the Chucky discussion because that's where we're at. I mean, scrolling through Twitter during the game, he was probably the focal point of discussion. And there's different perspectives you can take it, right? A lot of people, I think, the unanimous thing, people are just confused. Well, what's going on with this guy? Some people are like, hey, he's not untouchable anymore. I'm not going to go that far. But there's something definitely going on. And if he's not injured, then what else could it be? Obviously, there's a lot of whatever you want to call it, gossip, rumor around the whole situation with Muzzin early on in the season. It's been squashed a few times, but if you look at the turning point for him in his career, this is his fourth season. He's been pretty money until that moment. And he's had a really tough time bouncing back since then.
Right. And that's why it's almost impossible to believe that it's a coincidence, right? Because it's like there's such a clear delineation in his play.
Yeah. He had a bit of a resurgence when Sutter came on board, but that's fizzled out now too.
It's just so weird.
So we got to bring it up again. Is there something going on in the locker room? Because I don't know. It seems to me, just from the outside perspective, that Gio and Monahan are considered the leaders in that room. Like when, like Chucky doesn't even do interviews anymore.
I haven't seen him post game for a while. I don't know
who fell flat on his face, eh?
I don't know who selects those. Like, does the PR team, does the coach select who has to go talk to the media? Because I mean, most of the time, I know Johnny does it from time to time. But I see Monahan and Gio answering questions. Yeah.
Well, you know. Well, yeah.
Starts tonight.
You
know, it's like, holy fuck. Am I bald? Fuck, man. And then it's just like, I never see Chucky out there. So I don't know. There's something weird going on, man.
Let's look at the possible scenarios, right? Because I think this opened up a discussion for us, right? Just during game and post game, texting each other, trying to figure what the hell's going on. If there's anybody most likely to have a resurgence next season, it's going to be 19 and 13. right? Kachuk and Goudreau, whether it's on this flame, I don't see. There's no way they're getting rid of Kachuk in the offseason. I mean, you're not coming to that point yet, unless you're terrified about the qualifying. Like you said it the other day, this guy's qualifying offer is 10 mil?
9 mil.
9 mil.
He's set to be paid more than Leon Draisaitl. And listen, I don't think that in a vacuum is a bad thing. I just think it coincides with like Gaudreau, Mangiapane, Kachuk are all it coincides with a problem, kind of like a turning point for the team in terms of where they're going to spend their money. You know, you have a bunch of contracts up.
He's just been buying time with all these guys. And now that the window is closing while the time is still going, it's like, now what?
Exactly. Now what? He's just been buying time forever instead of going for it, which he should have, instead of picking a direction and either going for it or blowing it up and selling Monahan and Gaudreau at their peak, where you could have got an absolute shit ton. He's done neither. And he's ignored. It's the accrual of ignored decisions. And now it's like, well, fuck, now what? So listen, like if you look at Matthew Kachuk's underlying metrics, he's still been a good play driver this year. But again, if you know what he's capable of, if you've watched this guy play since 2016, and I mean, he's been the heartbeat of this team.
He's been the great game breaker.
He has been the game breaker.
And yeah, like you said, when was the last time you saw him with some antics that really pushed things over the top? And, you know, just you after the game, you just say, wow, this guy is such a gamer, right? Because usually when he's getting into those antics and just pissing everybody off, I mean, he was doing a bit with Muzzin when they played against the Leafs.
When's the last time Matthew Kachuk implemented, like, put his stamp on a game?
Yeah, perfectly said. When? I'm trying to think. Has he done it this year?
I don't know.
The last stamp he put on a game was when Muzzin made him look like an idiot.
Yeah.
So he put a stamp on a game for a negative reason. I can't think of a game this season. A game this season does not stand out to me.
The last time I can remember Matthew Kachuk being an impact maker was when he beat the shit out of Blake Wheeler. That's the last true Matthew Kachuk game I remember. Last year in the playoffs.
You saw the fire in him until the Muzzin incident this season.
Yep.
And you, like you said this, it was Elliot reporting on it. And one thing you know about Elliot, right? He's not clickbait. So the reason why he's so respected in his industry is because he really tries to only post and discuss things that are legitimate. So if it's coming from Elliot, it's a pretty solid source, is it not?
I would say that's rock solid if it's coming from Elliot.
And so you're left with that. No one really addresses it directly. You get some roundabout questions for Matthew Kachuk and Jeff Ward. They both laugh it off. It makes you sound like it's nothing. Like when I heard Matthew's response to the whole situation, that maybe the team told him to tone it down. But where would Elliot come up with this whole concept? Oh, yeah, we don't want to ride every night. And I know Johnny mentioned something that's spitting chiclets, but that wasn't where he was getting his info, was it?
I don't believe so, no.
The main thing is, and you brought this up, right? Around that time, shortly after, because it was up until that moment, if you're a Flames fan, you know, there's been a general consensus of like, this guy is obviously the next captain. Can we give it to him now? At the start of the season, Gio's regression was so apparent that it was just like, okay, is this guy even capable of like emotionally leading this team? Like, give it to Chucky. There's even, you know, people saying that after the Dallas series, obviously they're not going to do it. Gio's veteran, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, well, I don't know, man. Like, at some point, this organization needs to show some, you know, ineptitude, or like the opposite, show some balls, right?
And well, like, it would be akin to like back when Jerome McGinley was named captain, if they had just left it with like Craig Conroy or something, you know? It's like, you know what, like, and I'm not a big like, oh, leadership, but it is, like you said, it is quite clear who this team considers to be the leaders.
Yep, the organization.
The organization seems to be fixated on Gio, on Backlund, on Monahan, on Lucic, on guys like that. Yep. They don't
Tanev now.
And those, like, it's so funny to me that you always hear the argument from a lot of people like, oh, the dressing room's toxic. It's the culture. Culture needs to change in Calgary. But for some reason, it's like always directed at guys like Gaudreau or like, you know, but like for some reason, guys like who are actual culture setters, who are actual pillars for the organization, aren't mentioned. Gio, Backlund, you know, Monahan. Well, Monahan gets it a bit, but it's just, yep, it's so clear. And you said this a while ago, you said it after the Muzzin incident, that when another leader comes along like Tkachuk, you know, and he has such a clear style and such a clear personality, you know, and that
an ability, you hear it all the time.
Yeah.
To drag your team into the fight. We have not seen that in the past 20 games, 30 games.
Right. And is he at a point where he's like, fuck this shit.
You know? Something shifted.
Like, because say what you, again, I love Gio, but like, has he ever in his career dragged this team into the fight?
Not like Matthew Tkachuk does. I mean,
exactly.
He's played big games. I mean, he has in his own way.
Listen, I know, but is he, if you're
not
saying,
like Matthew Tkachuk does, no one does it like Matthew Tkachuk does.
Exactly.
Now we've
lost that.
You've lost probably the most important thing going in the organization, in my opinion, other than maybe, you know, keeping pucks out of the net and putting pucks in the net. What's more important than that element?
You lost something that apparently this team has been goddamn obsessed with forever. All you've ever heard, Brad Living's bullshit moves, or we're going to bring in Brower because he's tough to play against. Playoff experience, hates to lose. All you've ever heard about is how this organization wants to be formed around the premise that their guys hate to lose. Who hates or hated to lose more than Matthew Tkachuk? And then for some reason, despite that being the organizational mandate, that's what the organization is telling us that they want. Despite that, you have a guy who gets so fucking pissed off every time they lose that he flips out. They tell that guy to cool it.
Yeah. Talking out your mouth and your ass at the same time is what that is for the Calgary Flames organization.
So like, again, everyone's like, oh, you got to trade Tkachuk. It's like,
no,
you don't trade Tkachuk.
You need to address the number one issue currently in this organization, and that's Brad Treliving.
Here's what you do with Matthew Tkachuk. You say, Matthew, this is your fucking team. Give him the captaincy and stop fucking around.
Like, what are the options with Gio? Like, it's a really tough situation. I get it. So maybe, like, I brought it up a few times, you know, the biggest comparison we have with Mark Giordano in his tenure with the Flames is the Dano Chara with the Bruins. I mean, he didn't play his entire career there, but he played a shit ton. How many cups did he win there?
Yeah, you want, like, that, I would say that's even like more of a, right? That's even more to the, that's even more of an a bigger situation. It's like,
it is.
Chara was their captain who led them to cups and a cup and Stanley Cup finals and was there forever and was like the heart and soul of that team.
It is, and much bigger, because if you look at the flip side, Gio's been our captain for how long? What have we won? What's he led us to? Dick. Sweet dick.
Dick all.
So what are the options with Mark Giordano? Because look, oh man, not for a lack of effort. Like that's the one thing, right? The guy who
exactly the guy tries too fucking hard.
You know you're going to get 110% output from Mark Giordano every single time he's on the ice.
Like the game-winning goal tonight is his fault because, once again, he's flying to make a pinch. Absolutely flying to make an ill-advised pinch. And then he gets all crisscrossed with his D partner and loses his coverage.
Well, then, therefore, both goals are his fault because you're down.
Oh, yeah,
the penalty. And you trip someone like an idiot.
What is he? Why is he so aggressive on the blue line on the power play there? Oh, well, my God. Because
he can't stand to lose a battle. That's why we love him. But seriously, I'm like, okay, what are your options? Because if I'm running this organization, and I mean, we can't help but put ourselves in that perspective. I mean, that's what we do all the time, right? I mean, that's our thing. So if you're looking at this shit mess you're in right now, and where is the analysis coming from, right? The players aren't necessarily, they have to evaluate themselves. I mean, that's their job. The coach has to evaluate the team. The general manager has to evaluate the entire organization. And then you have the owners evaluating the GM. So where is this going to come down to? Because if you're looking at where we are, and this is a large sample size now. This is two seasons. And I get it. It's been weird. Two seasons, all right? COVID. Nothing's normal. There's no fans. But no one cares. Nobody fucking cares. Like, you're still obligated to perform in sports. It's harsh, but that's the way it is. So who is going to get the last evaluation here? Like, where is the evaluation going to end?
Starts with me.
Because I literally think it's time to go in a different direction with this general manager, because we've been saying this is Brad's team. This is the culmination of all his moves that he's been making for 6 years have brought us to this point. What you've seen in the last two seasons have his fingers all over. I mean, you're looking at the roster tonight and you're like, why can't we do it? Like, sure, guys have had bad seasons, like Tkachuk. Johnny's not even had that bad of a season considering, you know, the output of his entire team. Same to be said with Lindholm. Monty's been falling off a cliff. There's people that claim they saw that coming. Why didn't the general manager see that coming? Mark Giordano. I mean, that's the most obvious out of all of them, right?
Saying it for years.
It's like, you think he's going to play forever? He's just not. So there's nothing really out of left field.
Well,
that's
taken
place that exactly excuses Brad Tree Living from the fact that this is his team that he's created that's giving us this amount of results.
Exactly. And everyone will pull up, it's the COVID excuse. I mean, this guy spent 36 mil on a goalie. I don't really buy the there's no money excuse. You know what I mean? Like, the cap didn't go up. Oh, great. Well, okay. Well, maybe you shouldn't have put yourself in a position where you're paying Backlund and Lucic 11 mil. And I mean, like you said, you look at that lineup tonight, and I was like, all I kept thinking, because that lineup tonight was gross. Since we haven't even talked about the Hanifin injury, that defense is fucking rank. That's your defense? That's your defensive core after saying your priority is defense? Your fucking top four is the ghost of Mark Giordano, Chris Tanev,
who is having an unbelievably unprecedented season bounce back from last season.
Chris Tanev's bounce back. Michael Stone and rookie Yusuf Alamaki, that's your top four defensemen after 7 years and after forthrightly proclaiming your priority was defense in the offseason. That's your defense.
And how many trade chips in the last two seasons have you traded away to acquire depth defensemen who are no longer nowhere near your organization? Exactly. That you got nothing back in return for.
That you gave up second and third round picks for. And then you look at the bottom six tonight. My God. Like, all I could think tonight, it just stuck out like a sore thumb tonight to me. It was just like, this is 7 years of a guy's work.
This is it.
And your third line is Milan Lucic. And again, I'm not picking on Lucic. Lucic, Backlund, Brett Ritchie, a PTO?
No, there's Nordstrom.
Nordstrom, Buddy Robinson, and Derek Ryan. That's your bottom six after 7 years?
How does it get worse every year?
Like, it's just like, wow. Like, that to me looked like, that's like a team that you would take over and be like, whoa, we really got to rebuild this thing. We got our hands full. Like, that is a shit roster. Like, the fact that they have been competitive the last three games with this roster and now without Noah Hanifin, the fact that they even held, they almost held on is actually quite impressive given that roster.
This is the culmination of Brad Chilevich's moves over the last six, 7 years.
Right. And it's like, they can't score. And this is what it all comes down to with me, you know?
The other thing is, like, this is supposed to be the pinnacle of our window right now.
Yeah. Right now, it's supposed to be the climax.
It's not even like, okay, we did our playoff push, you know, a season ago, two seasons ago, and now we're a bit of a mess that we got to clean up. That's kind of like where Vancouver's at, right? This is supposed to be our pinnacle. But Brad couldn't have added the right pieces for three seasons now. Continue your rant wherever you were.
Well, you can't fucking score. And that's always been the problem with this team. We've been talking about it for 2 years since we've been doing this show, is you don't have enough scoring in the top six. You have it like, it just, what was the difference tonight? What has been the difference this season in games you've played against in tight games? The other teams have guys you can put the puck in the net. Who scored the game-winning goal tonight?
That's the kicker. Is it? The people who are scoring us and beating us are the guys you could have picked up.
Like, the Flames currently, Jay Fresh Hockey, just using his goal, his expected goal model, 28th in goals above expected. Essentially, that means scoring below the level of the chances you're creating. The Flames are fine at creating chances. Not fine. They're about middle of the road. But they can't finish them. This is the bottom line. This team does not have enough finishers. They haven't had enough finishers. They have two guys right now who can finish at an above average level, and that's Gaudreau and Lindholm. That's it. They have two guys who can score goals pretty much. Mangiapane, he's a great two-way player, but he has trouble finishing sometimes. We all know Monahan is a ghost shell of a player. Tkachuk can't score, apparently.
Can't the net.
Can't even shoot without falling flat on his face. Don't know where, like, Backlund, he can't score.
He looks cooked, man.
It's just fucking mind-blowing to me that I think I say this once every episode, is like, I cannot believe we are still talking about this. They haven't been able to score goals at an elite level for 3 years because they haven't had enough talent in the top six. We still don't, and it still hasn't been addressed. Fucking mind-blowing, dude.
Well, for us, that was the most obvious assessment coming out of the Colorado Avalanche series. Oh, Johnny Gaudreau wasn't good enough to win the series by himself. Okay, so we better bring in some more defensive players, and hopefully Johnny can do it next season.
And I mean, again, like, you look, who scored? Tyler Toffoli has 25 goals this year. Makes 5.25 or 4.25.
How many chances have you had to sign him?
You could trade. It's absolutely mind blowing. Like, how many guys were available on cheap ass deals this offseason that you could have addressed your biggest need and you didn't? The refusal to do so is just unacceptable to me.
So coming back to this, where does the evaluation end? Right. I mean, the players, whatever, like, they evaluate themselves. That's it. That's it. The coach, I don't know, man. The Sutter's going to do everything he can. I don't think it's enough.
Well, again,
he says it pretty much after every game.
Yeah.
The team's not good enough.
Well, the team doesn't have enough firepower. Brad Treving.
Hint. So to me, if you're looking at where does the evaluation end, it's at the general manager level. And look, I have no idea how these discussions go. How do the discussions, because Brad's the boss, right? But he also has to answer to the owners. And maybe there's a president of hockey. Like, how does that work? How does that hierarchy work?
Well, I mean, it used to be president of hockey ops, which was Brian Burke. And that
funny how as much shit we've given him as soon as he's left.
Well, I think Burke is good in an upper management role, right? You know, he's kind of like Daryl Sutter to me, right? Is like, I probably wouldn't want him making like management decisions per se, but he has a lot of knowledge and he's a good leader. You know what I mean? Yeah. Suited for an advisory role. So I'll say that about Brian Burke at least.
Cause like the final point on this is where I'm at. I know you're at there too. If you're looking at, yeah, sure, Brad Treliving's done a lot of good things. He's also done a lot of things incorrectly.
You need somebody who's willing to take this team where it needs to go and pick a fucking direction. You need somebody with a vision. End of story.
And what you're seeing right now, which is infuriating to all end, this is Brad's vision manifest. And sure, players are underperforming, but by a lot, by enough to really make a big enough difference that this isn't where Brad has taken us.
Well, and again, like, players are underperforming, but like you said, we didn't see this coming. We didn't see Mark Giordano not being a superstar at age 37, 38. Nobody saw that coming.
And like you've hammered on how many times, how do you walk out of the Dallas series and your assessment is yeah, we want to play exactly like that. And how do you walk out of 18-19 and say, yeah, we want to play exactly the opposite? So for me, it's time.
Yeah.
And I think you even said this. It's like, well, at least if they, now they lose tonight against Montreal, you know, Montreal's got the 6-point buffer again. Maybe we can have the key go back to this conversation, right? Because otherwise, it's another horseshoe up Brad Treliving's ass, and he lasts another year longer.
Yeah, if they go on a miracle run and sneak in, he probably gets another kick at this, and maybe he still will, irregardless.
Yeah, he might, because he's got 1 year left, right?
No, he's got two more.
Oh,
he's got the same length as Sutter. That's what worries me.
And the weird thing is the evaluation from ownership. Like giving him an extension before his contract was even up.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You look at this from the higher up angles in terms of how to, because that's the ultimate question, right? It's like, if you're managing a group and a team, it's like, how did we get to this point? Well, there was a bunch of decisions. It wasn't one thing. It's not one player. It's a culmination of everything. And you got to like slice and you got to like break down every little thing. And eventually, for us, me, you, at least, I know a lot of people feel the same way. You can't help but keep looking up the chain, right? Whew. And I think I said this last podcast, even if you think Brad, maybe one more kick at the can, he gets it done. It's just like, at what point, just like, do you need a change anyways? Maybe he is good enough. Maybe, but regardless, at this point, when your organization looks this bad, this stale, and I guess, look, we've been winning some games, but
when you're 7 years into your tenure and you have one playoff victory and that happened 6 years ago,
and you have a bottom six, like you just listed off, and your defensive depth is what you just listed off.
And again, like you said, this series of decisions, like probably since what, like 2017, almost every single major decision, whether personnel or coaching or any major decision in this organization, the assessment has been wrong.
That's been the biggest thing.
Every trade, other than some draft picks, but like every big one with the current roster, from coaching hires to shifts in style of play to player acquisitions, to not moving certain players, pretty much every single decision, I would say, since like the Travis Hamonic trade has been wrong. Almost every single one.
Yep.
Even on a micro level, like doing things like not signing Mangiapane to a big, a longer term deal, or like, you know, not playing Shillington, not re-signing Michael Stone, buying him out, re-signing him 20 times, trading a first and 2 seconds for Hamonic, trading Dougie Hamilton and Adam Fox for peanuts, signing James Neal, signing, like, you know, like it's almost every single decision. And it's not even that they've just been wrong in a vacuum. It's that the thought process behind them.
Yeah.
The reason those things happen, hiring Jeff Ward.
Yeah. This is why we say it's like, we're not trying to be dicks. This is, we want to keep reiterating this, Brad Tree Living's vision made manifest. This team that you're seeing, the season that they've put forward this last season and last.
Well, and again, whenever he comes on the radio and talks about accountability, accountability is number one thing. Starts with me. Well, it hasn't fucking ever started with you. It always seems to fall. Oh, it's Johnny Gaudreau's fault. We didn't beat the Avalanche. Get him out of here. What a bum. Well, it's Mark Giordano's fault that for some reason at 37 years old, you pegged him as your still number one defenseman and let his defense partner walk.
Yeah. It's what about Sean Monahan?
Yeah. Like
he was going to be your number one center for how long?
Forever. And everyone said for time immemorial, yeah, he's probably not suited for a number one center role. Still keep him as your number one center.
And then you know? Luck out, and then you have to trade. Like, you, how many times you said this? You brought in Elias Lindholm to be your third line center. You luck out. He's actually an elite goal scorer in this league. He becomes your best right winger, but you have no right wing depth, so now you got to put him at center. This is a shit show of Brad's vision and lack of vision, culmination of it, made manifest. Like, this is the results, his culminated effort.
Right, and when you break it down, like, transaction by transaction, like you said, oh, you acquire Lindholm. Turns out he's pretty good, but you can't get – like, when you break down these – it sounds like a bad movie script when it's, like, you watch it, like, oh, that's a pretty good movie, but then you, like, go back and rewatch it and look at all the plot holes, and you're like, none of this makes sense. Yeah. This is moronic.
And look, hindsight is always 20/20. Some of these moves that maybe they could have made out in different situations.
Yeah, I mean, scenarios, hindsight, but I mean, when you see a pattern. Didn't. Yeah, exactly. And when you see a pattern of decision after wrong decision, wrong, bad decision. Like I said, this is a trail. This isn't just a one or two or even three time thing. This is a pattern of bad assessments and bad decision-making that leads back to Brad Tree Living.
And this is what sports is all about. Results. That's it. You got one measurement. It's results. And we're not getting them. And eventually you have to look at why, right? And it's much more than any individual performance this season. It's much more going on. So that's where I'm at with it. I mean, I don't... Maybe you give Brad one more shot, but like... The fact that he hasn't been able to assess the true needs of this team and get more goal scorers, the ability to score goals after so long, it really worries me that I don't even want him to do one more kick at the can, because he doesn't know what he's doing.
And I mean, this one last shot thing is like, for me, he had his one last shot. Had
three last shots.
Exactly. It hasn't been like, oh, it's still, he needs one. And then
the like COVID. Lucic was the last shot.
Yeah. And the COVID thing is an excuse. It plain and simple is.
100%.
It's kind of like you do shitty in school, and then there's like something, like your dog actually eats your homework on like the last day or something. It's like you've done crappy on all these assignments previously, but you know, the dog eats your one assignment you maybe kind of did good on or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like these decisions had implications that are leading to the current results before the whole pandemic thing happened. Right.
Yep.
So I don't give, and again, maybe I'm being too much of a dick, but I mean, I don't give him much of a pass. And like I said, he still spent a shit ton of money in the off season, right?
Oh yeah. We've been up against the cap for forever.
So I don't think there's any excuse for him.
And like, here's my thing is this, like, do I care if he gets one more shot at the can for next season? No, but I do, because I don't have the faith in him that he's going to do the right thing, even for his last shot.
No, me either.
His last shot's going to be way out in left field too.
Listen, if it's his last shot and we've been to like a second or third round or something and had some success, sure. But when your last shot is like you have done dick all for 7 years. So I can't believe, you know, when you had no results for 7 years, how am I supposed to believe you're going to turn it around with one last kick at it?
So if I'm, look, the reason why I bring this up and like who she, you know, where does the evaluation end, right? The reason why I do this is because I want to know what direction this team needs to go. Yeah. And if I'm the owners, I'm replacing Bradshaw Living at the end of this offseason. Because barring a miracle run here, and that's still, look, miracles happen. Okay.
When?
Miracle on ice, man. You've seen the movie, I've seen it. Miracles, they do happen. But where's the traction, right? You can't just like slap it together in the last 10 games.
Well, right. I'm sorry to keep using my analogies here, but like this whole bullshit about like, they got to run the table here. It's like, I don't know why I keep going to this school analogy, but it's like having a shit grade. And then the final exam, you're like, hey, I need to get a ace the final exam, get 110%. And then I'll get a good grade, you know?
Even an ace, you get 100%. Who ever gets 100%?
You don't. No get 100%. One. You don't.
So barring a miracle run, I'm not saying it's impossible, but
I am. I'll say it's impossible, but continue. Okay.
I don't see the signs, because the only signs that I've seen are the implementation of Sutter's, you know, system and foundation and whatever.
If there was more runway, sure.
Yeah,
but you have 8 games. There's no way.
If he had more time, I guess the only last tiny shred of hope for me is looking at the condensed schedule that the Canadians play compared to the Flames. We have a lot of games spread out by comparison to what they do. I think they already look fatigued. They're already having trouble. Like what you saw tonight, like that was them giving everything they had. And they just barely squeaked out 2 goals.
Well, and again, so, this game was winnable and you had the schedule in your favor and you had to win tonight.
And that's like, so if that's, you know, the peak of what Montreal can throw at you, I don't know. They have to lose a bunch more games, but they played Toronto 4 times. I don't know.
And like, don't get me wrong. Like they have played good hockey under Daryl Sutter for sure.
They've played better.
But like I said, they don't have a fucking goal scorer.
And yeah. And if you don't have that, then you need much more runway than even the amount of runway you need with a goal scorer to get back in.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a miracle, honestly. And I'm not saying it's off the table. There's the one last shred of hope is the schedule comparison. You play the Canucks 4 times. Here we go again, eh? Starts tonight. It's going to start with the Canucks series. Well, first they got to somehow get past the Senators. Somehow they got to get past the Senators.
Well, you got to go 2-0 against the Oilers the next few games here.
Yeah.
Last I checked, Connor McDavid had 3 goals through the Winnipeg game. So good luck with that.
Yeah, he's going to be feeling it. I mean, is Mike Smith playing? Did you say he was playing?
Yeah, he's playing tonight. Yeah, Oilers won 6-1 against Winnipeg. McDavid with 3 goals and 4 points.
So it's funny, right? He I saw a stat before tonight's game. He needed to average 2.1 points per game to hit 100 points in the last 10, 12 games.
And
he
challenge accepted.
He's going to hit 100 points.
It's insane, man.
It is ridiculous.
What a monster.
So, yeah, like you said, Edmonton, I'm just so sick of, oh, if they have, okay, here's what they have to do. They got to beat them. They need a miracle. That comes down to needing a miracle.
Derek Wills will probably be on 960 going right now. Well, if you look at the math, it's definitely not in their favor. But if Montreal loses every single game and the Flames win every single game, there's still a chance.
So, like, as coming back to this, barring a miracle, and that's what they'll need.
If Dude, I'm they're not even in need of a miracle. They're in need of, like, Jesus. Like, what is the most insane miracle in the Bible? Like, whatever it is, Moses parting the Red Sea. Something insane. Blind man can see. Limp or crippled men can walk.
You know what would be a miracle is Bradtree Living adding to the top six. How about that? That'd be a miracle.
That would be more of a miracle than like water into wine. I shit you not.
Barring that miracle, if I'm ownership, I'm ready to change things up. Like, enough is enough. Like, it's the same shit.
Yeah.
Week after week, okay? At least game after game has changed. It's not game after game. Sutter's taken us to that point where it's not the same shit every game, because that's how bad it was under Ward. At least now it's like, okay, every week now. And maybe next season, Sutter can make it every 2 weeks or every month. But you still need a better team.
Exactly. And that's what it comes down to me. Because everybody keeps saying to us, like, oh, see, it wasn't the coach. It's like, I'm seeing the results Daryl Sutter can produce. They're playing a lot better. They're playing a lot more sustainable hockey right now. Sure, it's defensive. But the glaring issue right now is the team is not good enough. Who does that lie with? It all comes back to the guy who, for three seasons, hasn't addressed the biggest issues of this team.
Now, if I am ownership and I want to really shake things up, and I don't know how this works. I don't know how involved owners are, but I got to find a GM that has the same vision. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the situation now. Bradtree Living has the same vision of the owners. This like, oh, we want to be rough and tough. And when you come to the Saddle Dome, you know, you got to bring your lunch bucket. Like, you know, that's what game you're going to get. How about we just fucking win? Like, whatever it takes to win. That's what I'm down with. I mean, Sutter's alluded to it, right? He's called it out. You have to play the game now differently than you did 5 years ago. The game evolves. Same goes for how you manage a team. I mean, you use the comparisons all the time to the Colorado Avalanche, Tampa Bay Lightning. These teams were built. These teams have been built differently in the last 6 years than what Brad's been doing. A direct correlation to the vision and the moves backed by vision from these successful teams to ours. And maybe that's a problem with ownership, but dude, it's time for a change.
Yeah. And I mean,
go ahead.
It's even a time for a change because Brad has fallen in love with his group way too much.
And part of that change for me is like we got to make a Chucky's team. If you want one more kick at the can,
yeah,
you know, spread it out into another 3-5 years of what Matthew Tkachuk can do now.
Matthew Tkachuk's only 23 years old.
Build this team. You don't have to do a full-on rebuild. Maybe that's what you have to do. Build it around Matthew Tkachuk and some of the other younger pieces you have. Like, it's time to just kind of start letting go of Gio. He's not the guy that's going to take us to a championship. He's just not.
Exactly. And it comes back to me is like the believe in this group thing has been so frustrating because I don't give it like, and honestly, for as much as I love a lot of the guys who are on this team, like you said, I just want to fucking win. Make moves that make your team better. Like, please, you know, like does Gio make your team better right now? Then you move on. Monahan, does he make your team better? No. Backlund, no. Those are three guys. Those are three tree living guys that we've kind of identified as leaders of this organization.
Yeah.
I personally, my blood will be boiling if all three of those guys are back next year.
Which three? Gio?
Gio, Backlund, Monahan.
It's time to move on. Like,
Like
it's over. That's over. Like, maybe you get one more resurgence or two seasons out of Monahan, but look at the regression is undeniable.
Dude, it's absolutely mind-blowing.
how bad he has just turned over the last 2 years.
He had a vintage Monahan goal, but man, those are far and few between now. So I'm exposing Gio. I don't know if Seattle wants to go down that route, but even if they don't, then you can protect who you want. We're probably going to lose Shillington, or maybe they pick Backlund. I don't know, depending on what Seattle needs and wants. But regardless, I think you can probably trade Gio in the offseason to a contender. You trade him to a team. How much does he make?
675.
See, why not? Right? Gio can be the Pareko or the Pietrangelo of the offseason, right? Even though he's not. But he's got 1 year left on the contract. It's not that risky for one team that just needs a little, like the Oilers would be perfect. Wouldn't it not?
Can you imagine?
I'm not saying like, I want to see that, but a team like that, they got a lot of, you know, power up front. They need some more stability in the back end. Gio can give you that for one more year. Put him on let him play in your, you know, second pairing or third pairing. Can't rely on him that's a perfect fit. I don't know if a team can afford it.
Well, what about Winnipeg? That's a perfect fit.
Yep. There's teams out there. I don't see how he's a perfect fit for your team moving forward. Like, this kick at the can is not going to be because Gio has a, what more can he give us?
Right. And it's, you can't blame Gio for this. It's on Tree Living for putting him in this position.
Yeah.
He's 37. What's he supposed to do?
And look, the reason why I'm going in this direction and pushing on this is like, that opens up the door to me in my situation. The reason why Matthew Tkachuk is tapered off is this is my take. The team has turned him from an alpha male into the beta male. Right. And, you know, you hear it in society all the time, but if you look at it, just like, right, it's the mountain, the longhorn sheep or whatever.
Oh, right? Yeah. The mountain goat.
Like in nature, you see it all the time. Like there's leaders of the pack. They just naturally, like they're the lead. And I think what you've seen, the progression happening is Matthew Tkachuk was becoming that guy until he was that guy. Last season, he became that guy.
In the playoffs, he became that guy.
After Winnipeg rolling into the season, he is now that guy. And I think this is my take, is internally, the team hasn't been able to go his way, right? Because you still have this other captain and you have guys like Sean Monahan, like the three guys you just mentioned. Backlund, like you said, the organization is so hell-bent that these guys are the leadership group. It's Giordano, Sean Monahan, and Michael Backlund. Change, please. We're ready. Like, if you want to talk about change in a direction with a new general manager, to me, this is also on my list of things. This is like, let's get it over and done with, please, because obviously Matthew Tkachuk is suffering. This is not Matthew Tkachuk. I don't know what the fuck's going on in that dressing room.
He literally looks like one of those guys in Space Jam. It's like with fucking monsters came and like sucked his soul out of him.
1,000%. That's what it is. So, because I don't know if it was you or somebody else, but they said, well, maybe Sutter can, you know, bring it back next season. I think the easiest way to do it, you deal with Mark Giordano, get something in value in return, start building your vision around Matthew Tkachuk. He's got to be the guy. I'd be going all in around him.
Well, and again, like, I don't think, again, it's because he has been so crappy that he's frustrating the shit out of a lot of us. But guys like this, again, like, I just always come back to this thing where people are like, oh, yeah, Calgary can't get, nobody wants to come to Calgary. Who's going to play in Calgary? We can't attract free agents, blah, blah, blah. We have this guy here. These guys are fucking diamonds. A guy like Matthew Tkachuk, right? With the skill that he has, with his hockey background, he's like royalty, you know, like this guy knows he's such a stud when he's on, when he's Matthew Tkachuk.
I don't want to turn this guy into like, I don't want him to be like, yeah, this is a Mickey Mouse organization. I'm leaving, you know?
Yeah. So this is why I bring this up of like, I want, if I'm the owners, I want to get a GM that has the same vision as me. And part of that vision is we're going Matthew Tkachuk's direction now.
Like you look at, I'm just thinking of Ryan O'Reilly in Buffalo. Like Ryan O'Reilly's in Buffalo, gets the soul sucked out of him. Says, I hate, pretty much wants to quit hockey, right? A heart and soul guy like Ryan O'Reilly leaves, is obviously great and wins the Stanley Cup with the Blues.
Dude, well, didn't even the Conn Smythe?
I think so. He was unbelievable.
I mean, the last little thing I want to throw at that is, look at Sam Bennett. Another goal tonight. He's quoted saying, I'm having the most fun I've had in my career. That kind of scares me a little bit. But look, it could just be, we'll see how this thing plays out for Sam, right? It'll be interesting to see how long he can sustain this.
Well, but again, we've seen him do this before in Calgary, right? Like go on a heater. Yeah. So,
and obviously he's having the most fun, right? Look at his last 2-3 seasons wasting away here in Calgary. Now he's playing in Florida. It's like semi-tropical there, is it not? On a good team in an unbelievable role. I was watching the last Florida Panther game. Second line center with Anthony Duclair and Jonathan Huberdeau. He's bumped up to the first power play unit now. So I'm watching the game. He's on PP2. And then he's killing penalties. And then they bump him up to PP1. So, yeah, he's having the most fun he's ever had in his career, bar none. This is what this guy, this is what the position he wanted to play in being drafted. Never happened in Calgary. We've already touched on all that, but I just wanted to bring that up one more time because you're looking at the Matthew Tkachuk situation. This is a situation where you don't want to fuck this up too. And for what reason? So you can appease Mark Giordano and what he's done for this organization? It's not how it works. Like, you're only as good as your last at bat. What have you done for me lately? There's a reason why you have. It's harsh, right? There's other ways to make Mark Giordano, you know, feel appreciated for what you did for this organization. You don't have to like risk the direction and vision and the future of your team because of it.
You've got to commit to Matthew Tkachuk.
You talk about hope, man. He's our only hope.
Yeah.
Is he not?
And again, it's weird because he's having such a shit season. Like, I watched that game. I was texting you all night. I was like, where is this guy? He's fucking invisible.
Sucked. That was probably his worst game. That might be his worst game as a Flame. He sucked tonight.
But we know what he's capable of. And it's kind of like with guys like Gaudreau too. It's like, I've been a Flames fan for so long that I know when you have homegrown guys who are that good, you don't just fucking piss that away. Because if you do, it's a big mistake. We've just seen it too many times in Calgary. We pissed away the entire career of one of the greatest players of all time in Jerome Ginla. You know?
Yep.
I don't want that to happen again.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.